Let's open in a word of prayer. Lord, we come to you this morning, looking to you to meet the needs of each of our hearts. Lord, you're the one who ministers. We're just instruments in your hand. So, Lord, we pray that what is shared today will minister, that your Spirit will take it and minister and encourage and build up in each heart here. We look to you for that in Christ's precious name. Amen. I want to talk to you about the hardest discipline, both spiritual discipline and other discipline, and that's the discipline of listening. Just ask any wife. She'll say her husband never listens. Isn't that right? Now, I think so often we all fall in that category, don't we? Yeah. And the real reason that listening is so hard is because of the distractions of life. And, you know, there are internal distractions, our thoughts, our ideas, our biases, our cares and our worries. They all seem to interfere with us really paying attention to other people. But then there's this external stuff that's going on, particularly in today's society. We live in a noisy society. You know, there's always interruptions. The media, the cell phone. I used to be able to go back on the back end of the farm and get lost and didn't have to worry about anybody bothering me. Now Beverly has me on a leash. You know, listening is the only commandment given by God himself in the New Testament. He said, "This is my beloved son. Listen to him." The verse on your notes is wrong. It's Matthew 17:5. It says, "This is my son. Listen to him." This is my son. Listen to him. But, you know, Satan keeps telling us that it takes special people to listen to God. We've got to be one of the old prophets. We've got to be someone who's really spiritual to listen to God. We can't hear his voice. So we don't expect to hear it. We don't look for it. But, you know, God is speaking to us in so many different ways. And as we go through, we'll look at the ways he's speaking to us. But, you know, we need to be looking forward to God speaking to us. A verse that's always challenged me is Moses in Exodus 33:11. It says, "And Moses spoke to God face to face as a man speaks to his friend." I've desired that kind of relationship with my God. I desired the kind of relationship that I speak to him face to face and I get my directions directly from him. When we talk about listening to God, we talk about, in some ways, making us independent units. We don't have to rely on all the other people around us for our commission if we speak directly to the general. Expect it to the authority, to the king. But we have to learn to listen. And, you know, God desires that type of relationship. In Song of Solomon 2:14, it says, "O my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the covert of the cliff, let me see your face, let me hear your voice. For your voice is sweet and your face is comely." I don't know about you, but when I look in the mirror in the morning, I don't see a comely face. But to God, our faces are comely. He wants to hear us. He wants to have that kind of relationship. Luke 19:10 says, "For he came to seek to save those who are lost." In 1 John 1:3, John is saying, welcoming us into the fellowship. that which we have seen and heard, declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. The relationship with God is not something that's unusual. It's something we need to cling to, need to desire. But David put the responsibility back on us. And 1 Chronicles 28:9. And you, Solomon, my son, know the Lord God of your father and serve him with a whole heart and a willing mind. And here I go again. Scripture memory doesn't sometimes fails me. 1 Chronicles. And you, Solomon, my son, and this is a different translation, acknowledge the God of your father and serve him with a whole heart, hearted devotion and a willing mind. For the Lord searches every heart and understands every motive behind the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. If you forsake him, he will reject you forever. David is saying to his son Solomon, it's our responsibility to seek after the Lord. And you know, we need to be willing to listen to God on a daily basis to build a relationship with him. And you know, the Lord commanded John, the famous verse, feed my sheep, feed my sheep, feed my sheep. And, you know, we as a church say, well, our job is to feed the sheep. There's a problem. If the sheep doesn't eat, and really listening to God is eating. I've had enough baby calves that initially didn't know how to nurse from their mother. And we have to take time to hand feed them and get them to where they learn how to nurse. The thing that's supposed to happen automatically doesn't always happen automatically. And I think we as Christians, we need to learn how to listen to God. It doesn't come automatically. We hear a lot, but do we really listen? Do we really feed ourselves? I've got a calf right now that we're giving some of the best grain to. He won't eat it. Doesn't do any good how much you pile in front of him if he doesn't eat. And we're the same way if we don't eat. And this relationship is important. Some of you know Lee, the big guy that works for me. His comment was, he said to me, he says, I don't complain to people anymore because it kind of just offends them. He said, but I complain a lot to God. And he said, you know, he's never offended and he always listens and he always helps me through my struggle and my things that I'm complaining about. This is the kind of relationship that we're supposed to have with God. And you know, Lee is as simple a guy as you get. But he talks to God about the things that he struggles with. How does God communicate with us? What are we to listen to? The number primary way he communicates is through his word. And I think most of the people in here already know that. And God communicates through his word. 2 Timothy 3:16-17, all scriptures inspired by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. You know, most believers and most ministries really emphasize teaching, doctrine. But, you know, I think when we only look at teaching and doctrine from the Word of God, we're looking at the tip of the iceberg. Word of God is so much bigger than that and meets so many more needs than that. The last three are rebuke, correction, and training. They're the uncomfortable ones. They're the ones that deal with the problems in our lives. And, you know, most of us don't enjoy getting involved in that part. And even the training in righteousness. Like one of the young guys that was going through marriage counseling was saying, I don't need anybody to tell me how to live. You know? Of course, he's now separated from his wife, but, you know, no one needs to tell me how to live. So, you know, the scriptures do so much more than that. And are we willing to let the scriptures deal with those things that are personal and just not intellectual? The intellectual part is easy. It's the parts of where the rubber meets the road, where we struggle, where we hurt. Jeremiah 15:16, Jeremiah says, thy words were found, and I ate them, and thy words became to me a joy and the delight of my soul, for I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. But he found the words, and he ate them, and he said they were the joy and delight to my soul. Why were they? Because they told him that he was a son and he was in God's family. You know, that's the whole, you know, that's Romans and the Gospels and 1 John all wrapped together. The assurance of salvation. He said, I found the word and I realized that I'm secure in you. That's what the word did for me. And then there's verse Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. Able to tell the difference between the soul and the spirit and the thoughts and intents of the heart. You know, are we willing to let the word of God discern what our motives are and reveal them to us and have us deal with the ones that are not right? Those thoughts and intents of the heart. The word of God is the only thing that can do that. Are we willing to let him do it? That's the real listening. And then when you get on to ministry, Isaiah 54 through 5, the Lord God has given me the tongue of disciples that I may sustain the weary one with the word. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to listen as a disciple. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not disobedient, nor did I turn back. The ear of a disciple senses and hears people's pain, the struggles, the things they need in their lives. The Word of God does that for us. It helps us to sense those things. And he's given us that. And are we willing to allow that to affect how we relate to other people and how we minister to other people? We need to listen to the word. But then he also speaks to us through prayer. Psalms 34:19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. I called on the Lord, and he answered me. I called on the Lord, and he answered me. Isaiah 30:20-21, and though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teacher will not hide himself anymore, but your ears, I shall see your teacher, and your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way you walk in it when you turn to the right and when you turn to the left. You have that voice behind you. And many people say today that God doesn't speak through prayer. And I heard Someone else say it's probably because they're too busy talking and not listening to what he wants to say. You know, today we have the Spirit that lives within each believer and communicates with our spirit using strong convictions. Romans 8, 16 and 17 says the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God and have children then heirs. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit. Do we respond to that? And you know, a lot of times it may not be verbal. In fact, I've only had one time in my life that I thought it really wasn't verbal, but it should have been. I was in the Philippines, deep discouragement with how my life was, that I wasn't living up. I guess I was almost got to be a works-based Christian again after all those years of walking with him. But I was discouraged because my life wasn't living up to what I thought it should be. And I was stumbling through some verses and hit Romans 5:8. God commends his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And his comment to me then was, it was almost like it was actually verbal, was if I loved you back then, you think I love you any less now. Look where you are now compared to what you were back when you first became a believer. And you know, that's been a stake in my life, that God spoke to me and told me that he truly loved me. I covet that for all of you. And you know, I'm not so cocky as to think I live my life with James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. The number of times that I've prayed that prayer and he's given me the wisdom to know what to do and what decision to make. Shoot, I got through college on that verse. But I also get through that. I get through some of this machinery repair that breaks down. Lord, what in the world are we going to do now? And he gives wisdom. And, you know, we can be cocky and not give him the credit. But he's the one that speaks to us. He's the one that opens our mind. And then he speaks to us through people. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. And let us not forsake gathering ourselves together. Here I go again. That's what the Bible is for, you know, when the memory breaks down. Hebrews 10, 21, and let us consider how to stir up one another love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more you see the day drawing near. You know, there are people in this congregation that really encourage me. There are people all through my life that have encouraged me. It's God doing it through other people. Acts 18, 24 through 26. Apollos was a powerful speaker, but he only knew the baptism of John. And Aquila and Priscilla came along beside him and instructed him in a way more the right way. You know, to me, that verse more speaks of the character of Apollos than it does Aquila and Priscilla, that he was willing to take instruction from someone else. Proverbs 27:17 says, iron sharpens iron. For those of you who have never done metal work, it means there are a lot of sparks flying. We rub each other's rough edges off, don't we? Sometimes it's not pretty. Sometimes it's tough. But that's what molds us. And in Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 11, it says, two are better than one, for they have a good reward for their labor. You know, I have a long-term friend that he's one of these deep-thinking engineers, and he always, every time I see him, he's always got this, all these deep questions. He has a way of drawing stuff out of me that I don't even know that's in there. Convictions that God has built through life that I don't even, had never verbalized before, and he has a way of drawing those out of me. So he speaks to us through people. I was at a funeral a week and a half ago, and one of my long-term friends, I say long-term, I haven't seen him probably in 20 years. His mother passed away, and he was back in the neighborhood, and he said, Will, you know, I said, I really miss, he said, it used to be when I gave to these Christian organizations, I get real good, encouraging, biblically based letters back, sharing scripture with me. He says, now all they do is send me a thank you. And he said, Will, you really ought to start writing some stuff and sending it to people. And I have this fond love of the English language, that particularly of the English written language, that I just soon not get involved in that. But I, when I got home, I realized that the Lord was saying, Will, you need to start putting something in writing. And if nothing else, just send it to him. You know, if Luke was willing to write two full-length letters to one man, I ought to be able to be willing to write something to someone, because he wants to be encouraged and challenged. And because I won't see him probably very much. You know, those guys that live in Utah, and they it's a long ways out there. And and then he speaks through circumstances. Numbers 22, 21 through 35. Talking about one of the fun stories in the scriptures. Balaam and his donkey. And the donkey just wouldn't cooperate, because the donkey saw the angel standing in the road with the sword. And basically he was protecting Balaam. But Balaam got mad because he didn't know what was going on. And he got so frustrated. And you know, until the donkey spoke, and then he opened, and the Lord opened his eyes, and he saw the angel standing there and realized what the donkey was doing. Well, you know, we get really upset with those uncontrollable circumstances in our lives. When we go out in the morning and our donkey won't start. You know? Or when we get stopped at those every red light going through Culpeper. You know, it's perfectly timed for that, you know. It's uncontrollable. You know, often we don't realize that God is the one who's protecting us from something. He's the one setting our standard and our walk. He's the one that controls where we go. And if the Spirit is in control of that, and it's so much more peaceful if we don't struggle with it. But if you're like me, you struggle with it, because we've always got stuff that seems like such a high priority. In Acts 16, 6 through 8, Paul wanted to go to Asia, a couple towns in Asia, and he was blocked from going. Holy Spirit wouldn't let him go. So often we have these great ideas of what we want to accomplish, and circumstances keep us from doing it. And we realize that God is speaking in those circumstances. No. We need to welcome the uncontrolled circumstances as gifts from the Lord that keep us on His path and slow us down sometimes so maybe we can listen to Him. It's interesting. Beverly read me a quote from Elizabeth Elliot several years ago that I've never forgotten. She did a thing on the Lord's Prayer. And he said, where it says, "Give us this day our daily bread." She said, "Give us this day our daily lot." It's more than just what we eat. It's what comes each day. And give each day to the Lord before we even start. And thank Him for the lot before it even comes. Because it's the lot that He's given us. Powerful thought. Give us this day our daily bread. And the next question comes is, how can we tell we're listening to God? There's my old nature. There are false teachers. There's Satan's forces all trying to talk to us as well and vying for our attention. The first way that we assure that it's from God is it consistent with Scripture. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. First of all, you must understand this, that no prophecy of Scripture is a matter of one's own interpretation. If you find this nice, neat, new interpretation of Scripture that only you have thought about, beware. Beware. Is it consistent with the main thought of Scripture? And John 7:17 says, if anyone is willing to do the will of God, isn't it nice to have a Bible? John 7:17. If any man's will is to do his will, he shall know whether the teaching is from God or whether I speak on my own authority. I think if we're willing to do the will of God and we've committed ourselves to do that, God will protect us from the lies. He'll show us what those lies are. The problem is a lot of times we're not willing. We kind of want to do what we want to do, don't we? First Corinthians 2:12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we may know the things that are freely given to us of God. You know, I know so many Christians that are so structured and so concerned that they're walking a tightrope. He says, this is things freely given to us of God. You know? It may be sinful. I've had one friend that it was sinful for him to play golf. But he was the only one I knew. That's because he earned his way through college gambling on golf, getting the rich doctors to bet on the holes. And the Lord took it away from him. But most people, it's not sinful for them to play golf. God has freely given us so many things to enjoy. And then also the Spirit will give us we'll be restless if what we're doing is not right. Our spirit will be restless because if we're really in tune with the Spirit of God, there'll be a restlessness. And then another way we know that the Lord is speaking to us, particularly on major decisions, God doesn't speak just one time. The Word of God will be there. The counsel will be there. Circumstances will work out. I know I was praying whether I should just go on and allow the draft to get me back a few years ago, or whether I should enlist. And I said, well, I'll pray about it and I'll go down and I'll enlist and see if everything works right. I'll go that direction. I tell you, I never found such a welcoming guy. He thought I was the greatest thing going. You know, he didn't get many college graduates that were looking to sign up. And apparently what that did, it gave him more brownie points or something, but everything worked flawlessly. So even though I prayed about it and decided which way I wanted to go, he wanted me to go that way. And I ended up with a delayed enlistment and was able to spend 3 months ministering over at Bridgewater College with some guys. God opened the doors. And not only that, I wondered why in the world he never had me finish my college degree. And I had basically all the courses for a master's degree, and I was dodging the draft. If you really want to know what I was doing. And he never let me finish it. But, you know, because of that master's degree, I ended up not in a combat branch. I ended up in quartermaster corps because I don't think they saw the word nutrition. They didn't realize it was ruminant nutrition. It wasn't human nutrition. It was cow nutrition. God orchestrates things. He works things the way they are. And so on. You know, after we've listened to the Lord, there's really only one thing left to do. And that's the decision of whether we're going to willingly obey him. Isaiah 6:8. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. Here am I, send me. And you know, do we have that willingness? When he speaks to us through other people, through his word, are we willing to be obedient and do it? And you know, the other choice we have is the choice of Jonah. And you know, none of us will tell God directly no. But boy, we love to procrastinate. We've got other things to do. I think I've spent too much time in Jonah's seat than I have. And grateful to the Lord, I hadn't had a fish swallow me, but he's had some other things to get my attention. We have to make that decision. And, you know, sometimes being obedient is not, I'm not talking about big things. I'm talking about the little things very often. Like when you hear the voice of the Lord say, Daddy, will you play with me? No, child, I'm too busy. Or the other one that says, will you take out the trash? See, these little things that we're obedient to. See, very often, you know, we always think of God calling us to do big, great things. A lot of times it's just being faithful in the little things that all of us have to do. If we truly listen, we will obey his guidance. There's a difference between hearing and listening. And to me, listening is really understanding what he wants us to do. And if we obey, there's great liberty, great freedom, and great blessing. The real blessing of his presence. And that's what we all really, really want over the long term. Is his presence. Thank you. Pray for me that I will learn. One reason I spoke on listening is I've got the dullest ear in the congregation. So I pray for you all. You all pray for me, and I'll be praying for you all that we all become listeners to what God is telling us to do. Thank you. You're dismissed.